So what did the Boston Civic Design Commission meeting last night make of the project, and what comes next? We'll get one take from Rachel Slade. She's an architect, former executive editor of Boston Magazine, and now the editor of the quarterly Boston Home Magazine. Rachel, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks, Scott.
So you were at this commission meeting last night. First, tell us about the oversight power that the Civic Design Commission has over these kinds of construction projects.
Yeah, this is all very mysterious, I know. So about 25 years ago, the architecture community was concerned about design in the city. And so kind of as a way to give them some kind of say, Mayor Mignino created this commission. And so it's a panel of, I want to say seven really esteemed architects in the city and developers and a lawyer. And they're really there to comment on the design. So they don't have any actual statutory power, but they can make recommendations. And
so could they actually suggest changes to the design to the Boston Redevelopment Authority, which has the real power to ultimately give the green light?
Absolutely. And they're not actually making recommendations to the BRA. They're working directly with the architects of these large projects.
So last night, what was the sense you got from the people who showed up at the meeting?
Well, so there weren't any, the public didn't show up, and it'd be great if the public did, because, I mean, we want some pitchforks, but in general.
I'm surprised because I have seen the pitchforks at pretty much every other GE public event this year.
No, there were no pitchforks. It's a very professional meeting, actually, and it's lovely to watch because you can really see architects in action thinking about these problems. First, I want to say that everybody was thankful that GE chose to come to Boston. I mean, it just, you know, all the architects who spoke, that was a common theme, that we are grateful that they're coming here. It means a lot to us. It means Boston has really arrived. So that's good.
And when you say problems, what do you mean? Problems with the design or with how they're using the land?
Well, I mean, when you have a jury of architects, especially, you know, seven very esteemed architects, they all have opinions. And this is a very public building. And so there are a number of ways to evaluate a building. The commission is really charged with kind of how the public interacts with these buildings. They're big buildings. They're in prominent places. And so that's their charge. That's their concern. And remember, they don't have a lot of time. I mean, this building has really already been designed to a fine, detailed degree. So the commission doesn't have a lot of time to actually change the design. So the recommendations that they do make have to be, you know, something that can be executed quickly.
So to me, it's and this is all, you know, subjective, but it's a much more daring design than a lot of the boxy glass buildings that got built in the Seaport District when Mayor Mignino during his administration. Do you agree? Do you disagree?
Well, I mean, when you boil it down to its essence, well, first of all, let me just say, like, right now it's a parking lot. So let's just
hard to do worse. Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's a tabula rasa. It's a parking lot. It's right on the edge of all those beautiful wharf and industrial buildings from the turn of the 20th century. So, I mean, that's terrific. I guess the question really is, and sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, what's your take on the design? Do you think it's an improvement of what we've been building in the last five or
right.
10 years in the Seaport?
So basically what it is one glass box on top of another glass box, and then they put some nice things on it to distract you from the fact that it's one glass box on top of another glass box. Not that there's anything wrong with
that. But it at least has a little cantilever to it, right? It reminds me a little bit of the Institute for Contemporary
Art,
where... You don't think it's as good a building?
Well, no. I mean, definitely, I would say that cantilever that you're talking about is a move stolen straight from the ICA, but it's not nearly as dramatic, nor does it serve the public function that cantilever does.
Do you like the roof, the solar panel? That it, to me, it looks almost like an igloo cooler, and you've opened up the top, you know, a quarter of the way, and it has solar panels on it. Do you
okay.
like that
so
aspect
that's,
of it?
That is called the solar veil. That's what they're calling it. And for people who haven't seen it, Scott has described it one way. Other people have described it as a taco shell. It's this big sweeping sail that kind of that's on the south face and rises up over the roof. And let me say something about that. We need to have our buildings do so much now, right? I mean, besides just enclose us and keep us warm and keep us safe from the elements, and also, you know, anticipate flood tide rising, which is something we should probably talk about. We also need our buildings to actually create energy. And so I don't know if you've seen down on Boylston, there are some wind turbines on the top of the new Boylston building that's next to the Prudential Center. And so a lot of developers or builders are now making, you know, accommodations to energy. I think that building materials should be integrated more fully. These kinds of building materials should be integrated more fully into the buildings themselves. Do you see what I mean?
So instead, you don't like the taco shell that's kind of layered on top of the building.
My question is really like, do you want to tack this thing on, or do you want to set a precedent, which is, you know, the solar array, these PV panels, are actually part of the system that you create. And I think that's the precedent setting that this building should be doing.
Another question about the design is that it's both a new building that they're putting up on the parking lot, but it also connects to existing brick buildings, which I presume go back to the 19th century when that neighborhood was a lot of warehouse buildings for wool and sugar and other products. What about that integration of old and new?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So remember, this is on the edge of the old, right? And there's nothing out there beyond. It is just a desert. So basically, I think what's happening is they're copying the vocabulary of the old. So between the old right now, if you look at those beautiful old brick buildings, there are lots of bridges. And so they've introduced a bridge element that ties the new glassy box to the old what used to be the Necco factory, which was actually, I think, built in 1903, only used for less than 30 years. So there is this bridge. There is a precedent for bridge. The weird thing that the BCDC pointed out last night is that the bridge actually lands on the roof of the old building. And so there's this kind of glass penthouse stuck on the roof of the old building. And it may not be the most elegant connection between old and new. Is there a better way to integrate? That was one of the questions that came up last night.
One of the interesting numbers relevant to the new complex is that they're only proposing to build 30 parking spaces for a complex that may employ 700, 800 people. So what does that say about how the other, you know, 770 or so people are going to get to work?
That's a really interesting point. I'm like them. I mean, I'm optimistic that because it's so close to South Station and because the city is making a big push to include bike infrastructure and, you know, through rideshare, that people are not going to be driving to work as much as they do. So it's a very optimistic projection. That said, there is a garage right across the street, the Necco Garage, which I understand during the day is at full capacity. So parking, I think, is eventually going to be an issue, but I am hopeful that And I, you know, this is just me. I'm very anti-parking. I'm hopeful that it'll just force people. They'll be so miserable when they drive that they're going to figure out alternative ways to get there.
In the few seconds we have left, I wonder if you've heard anything about neighborhood reaction. I was asking people on Twitter today who are concerned about maybe the building's a little bit too tall, GE executives moving in and driving up rents in the neighborhood. But what are you hearing? Most people seem happy to have something other than a parking lot.
They're very happy to have it there. And I think the one thing that they're concerned about is what happens to that dock? What happens to the water? What happens? How is this really engaging with the civic responsibilities that they say that they're going to be addressing with this building?
We're going to see, I guess, as this gets built. We also should mention the time frame is insanely fast, that they're saying it's going to be done and occupied by 2018. We'll see about that. Rachel Slade, an architect and editor of Boston Home Magazine, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Scott.
And listeners, as we mentioned, you can find images of the proposed headquarters and a link to our conversation with Ann Klee of General Electric at our website, radioboston.org. Stay with us. Coming up, sports with Bill Littlefield. Patriots begin their training camp, and fans scrutinize backup quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm Scott Kersner. This is Radio Boston.